Give me your name, your age, and your hometown.
I'm Arthur P. Wallman. My hometown is Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm 86 and a half years old. And what else?
What branch did you serve with, rank
I
and
served
unit?
in the infantry in the 32nd Division. And I was overseas in the Pacific.
What was your rank?
I was a platoon sergeant, tech sergeant.
Where were you? Were you drafted? Did you volunteer?
No, I was drafted in 1942.
And where were you then?
I was at Freeman, South Dakota, was my where my farm was.
And how old were you?
I don't know, about 22, something like that, 23.
And you were farming then?
Yes, I was farming with my father.
And what happened then? I guess you had to go to basic training.
I went to Leavenworth to get all my shots. Was there about 4 or 5 days, and then they sent me to Little Rock, Arkansas, Camp Butner, I believe it was. And there I took my 6 weeks basic training, and then they sent me over to North Carolina, Camp Butner, and I was there for about a month or so doing anti-tank problems or whatever you want to call it. And then I thought I was going to be shipped to Europe. And all of a sudden they loaded us up one night and sent us back to the Pacific, to California. And there we were about a week, and they loaded us up on a big old boat, and about 5,000 of us in that boat, ship I should say, and sent us over to Australia. And there we in Australia I was, I suppose, 2 3 months taking beach landing training. And then in 40, I believe it was 43, I made a beach landing with the 32nd Division on Sader, New Guinea. And then I fought in New Guinea for about, I was there about 16 or 18 months, and I made two more beach landings. They were just company beach landings. We kind of hitched up around the New Guinea, and I landed in Hollandia, and another beach landing was Itapi. And then after that, our division made a beach landing on Mortai Island, which was a small island that we it was taken to get ready to jump off into the Philippine Islands. And then I made another company beach landing on that. And after that, we got ready and we landed in Leyte, Leyte, the Philippine Islands, first one. And then I fought there for about 34 days before we got that cleared up. And then I got wounded there with a Jap hand grenade taking the pillbox. And they just send me back into the hospital and tip the shrapnel out and send me back in to take over my platoon again. And then we were doing mop-up work, so I got back my confidence again. Otherwise, I was kind of scared after you get wounded once. And I got back in the groove, took my platoon, and then we were got on a ship, and they took us to Luzon, and we landed in Manila. And then from there on, they shipped us up in the mountains to get the Japs out of the mountains. And then when I got wounded there, I got hit with four machine gun slugs, and about 2,000 yards from Baguio, up in the mountains. And that was the end of my army career, army in the front lines. And then I was in the hospital about 3 4 months over in the Philippines and Leyte, and they send me back to Luzon again. And then from there they put me on a plane and flew me home, which was 1945 in June or July. And then I was there in the hospital at Walla Walla, Washington for about a month or so, and then I come down with malaria, and then they send me home for 3 months for let me recuperate so when I come back so they could discharge me. And that was the end of my army.
A lot happened, though. You were right there in the cliched heat of battle many times.
Yes, I got the Silver Star for knocking off, whatever you want to call it, 21 Japs by myself. And I got the Bronze Star for leading my company into a roadblock. And I got the Purple Heart, and the second time I got the cluster, because you only get the Purple Heart once.
And you got the Purple Heart for?
When I got wounded the first time in Leyte, I got the Purple Heart. And then the second time when I got wounded, the first time I got wounded was December 18, 1944. Then the second time I got wounded was April 18, 1945.
Did you, you were pretty fortunate then. You were in combat for 2 years before you got wounded at all.
Yeah, the first 2 years in New Guinea, I never got a scratch. I didn't get wounded until I went to the Philippine Islands.
And what was making these beach landings like? Is it kind of like you see the Normandy invasion, that type of operation?
Well, it's just, let's hit the jungles, kind of, or the beach landings and islands, that, which was swamp and what all. And I was in the first wave, and when we hit the beach, the Air Force had it bombed, and then the Navy would shell it while we was going in, and they keep raising up the shelling, and because we were supposed to take a Jap air base in Sader, New Guinea. And our objective was to get in there, bypass everything we could, because we went, one of our objective is to take that air base. And then the rest of them that come in behind us supposed to mop up what we bypassed.
And you were leading, you were the sergeant of a platoon?
Yeah, I was in charge of a platoon. And of course, I had a lieutenant above me, but I was in second command.
And the sergeant's always the one really running it, though, right?
Well, they told us, I read many articles that says the sergeants won the war, not the generals.
What was it like to not just worry about yourself, but for all of these other men?
I tell you, my theory was, if I went out in combat to look for the Japs, that we're going to come back, not them. And my men all knew that we're going to stick together, help each other, and make sure that the one gets wounded, that we get him out. And if he's gets shot and gets killed, and we have to leave, make sure he's dead, that we didn't leave a live one. Otherwise, I was for my men. And if they did, if we called for them to stop, as far as I was concerned, a shot up in the air once, and they didn't stop, the next one was right on. I believed in us coming back, not them.
And this is jungle warfare here. I mean, this is not. I mean, this is not easy. I mean, none of it's ever easy in a war, but the jungle really creates an obstacle.
Yeah, yeah. You got a lot of swampy stuff, and it seemed like it rained about every day. And never, I never heard lightning and seen lightning or thundering. It just all of a sudden would start raining and rain all night. In the morning, it got hot. Like we fought in the equator, it was about 120, 22, and humid, and mosquitoes. We used to kid each other. The last night, the mosquitoes were arguing, shall we eat them here or carry them away? While they were arguing, we took off and left them argue.
Did you have to keep your sense of humor to make it through?
Well, we tried to, in a way. Used to kid each other about different things. Otherwise, you just went along with the flow.
And what were your emotions during the entire time? I'm sure you lost some friends and some of the men you were under you.
What's that now?
What were your thoughts and emotions when, you know, somebody would be lost in combat?
Well, if we lost them, naturally, Everybody was sad about it. We didn't want to lose nobody. And we hoped that if they were wounded and went back wounded alive, we were hoping that they still could do something for them and keep them alive. But most of the time, I never heard of them again. Didn't know what happened to them, my men, if they got wounded.
And what was the incident where you, that you had received the Silver Star for? What was that battle like?
You know, when I received the Silver Star, we were moving from one position to another, supposed to have been a town or village or whatever it was we were supposed to take. And in the meantime, we hit the Japs before we got there. And on that day, my platoon was in reserve. And the front point got pinned down by the Japs. And I was in reserve, and I was scared that they might try to get in behind us. So I told my company commander that I wonder if we shouldn't send somebody back and make sure that they don't get in behind us. And so he said, yeah, take some of your men and go back, since I was in reserve, and see. Now, instead of doing that, I took off with myself, and I have to get caught back there. They were trying to get in behind us, and I was up on the high hill, and they were coming up to cut us off. And I was apt to see one standing up going to take a shot at me, and I just turned around and got him. And when I did that, there must have been about 30 or 40, it seemed to me, getting up trying to get me. And I jumped behind a kind of a rock or whatever it was. And I just kept shooting, throwing hand grenades. I shot all my rounds, I had 180 rounds. I shot them up. And I I had about 7 grenades. I threw them. And after I had that, I had only one left, and each platoon sergeant carried a thermite grenade. And I figured, well, here it goes. So I threw that, and the fire started burning the grass and that, and they must have thought I had a secret weapon, because they took off. And of course, when they took off, I took off back to my platoon and company. And I don't know who put me in for the Silver Star, but somebody must have wrote me up for it. I don't know.
What was it like every day? Just a very intense environment?
Well, yeah, naturally you were nervous when you went out, and after you were out a while, you got back to the groove and you kind of simmered down to doing your job and hoping that we get to run and see them before they see us. And that's about the way the game went.
And where, let me back up to the incident with the Silver Star, do you know where that took place? What island or?
Yeah, that was in Luzon. And when I got the Brown Star, that was in Leyte, when I led the platoon into a roadblock.
What does that mean, led them into a roadblock?
Well, the Japs, we went up around in the mountains. They go up in the mountains about half a mile from where the Japs, we figured they had a trail coming with their ammunition and whatever they were bringing up. And we'd get in behind them and cut them off. And that's when we try to cut them off of that trail so they can't use it, and kind of relieve the pressure on the guys that were pushing up. And then we'd hold it, and then relieves the pressure on them, and then they push up to us, and then we meet our division or whatever was coming up the main line.
And did you recover then, I guess, from your wounds, or how did that work out then?
Well, the first time when I got wounded with shrapnel, I went in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and they took the shrapnel out, and they sent me right back in to take over my platoon. And of course, naturally, I was scared when I went back, but I was lucky enough when we got back, my outfit was pulled out back for a little relaxation. And all we'd done is mopping up work, so I got my confidence back again, and then I was shipped naturally to Luzon.
And then when you were in the hospital in Walla Walla, you had a leg injury?
I got shot through the elbow, and a bullet went through my elbow. Another one, I must have pulled my elbow up and then went, followed down and launched into my wrist. One went through my by my spine back to got my kidney, so they had to take that out. And I got shot through the liver, and another one went through my body and got the lower part of my lung. So I guess they'll tell me I was lucky to be alive.
I guess and you'd have to conclude that that is pretty lucky, huh?
Yeah, that's what they all told me, the doctors, that I'm lucky to be alive.
And that was from what battle?
And the last one when I got hit with them four machine gun slugs was Leyte, Luzon. Leyte was when I got hit with the shrapnel hand.
And Luzon was where the bronze, you got the Bronze Star for that.
Yeah, no, I got the Silver Star.
Silver Star. So you were hit that many times during that battle, but you were still able to return fire and get your grenades off.
Well, no, that was before. I never got scratched when I got the Silver Star. That was after about. I got it. I don't know. I can't remember when the Silver Star I got it, but I got wounded in April, the 18th of 45.
In a separate battle. This
Yeah.
wasn't the one where the Japanese were trying to circle behind
Yeah,
you.
we trying it took us tried to take a hill, and the first platoon that went up, they got beat up so bad they had to come back down, and then we called the airplanes in to bomb again, and then of course we bombed them the second time with gasoline, and burned them out. And then my platoon went up and took a hill, but I got was the first one to get wounded after we got up there. So, but my platoon held the hill, and the guy that took over for me got killed about 10 minutes after I got wounded. The same gun must have got him, and he got him right through the head, killed him.
And you lost your kidney, but your lungs were okay.
Well, yeah, I only got one kidney, and that lucky was that was good shape and everything perfect. So I survived that. And the lung, of course, just must heal by itself. And then the liver got shot through that, through my liver, and that they healed up too pretty well.
And what was your homecoming like?
Homecoming? There was no homecoming. I just they flew me back to a hospital out in California, and then from there they flew me to Walla Walla, Washington. And got discharged and went home. That was my homecoming.
And back to Freeman.
No, at that time my dad bought the farm at Hurley, South Dakota, so I went to Hurley, South Dakota.
And did you farm there then?
I farmed with dad about 5 years, and of course my one kidney I got gave me a lot of trouble, and so they told me to get off it, I wouldn't live long. So I quit. I told my dad I gotta quit, so he bought me out. And I looking for a job and finally wound up working in the VA hospital in Sioux Falls for 35 years in the lab. And I worked as a lab technician. And then after about 15 years or so, then I took over the cancer department. And I worked with the cancer department for the last 15 years. And then I retired in 81.
So the war changed your life to the extent that you had to give up farming, I guess, because of the kidney loss.
You bet. I just loved farming, and it was very, very hard for me to give it up. But then after I worked at the VA for about 4 or 5 years, I finally got used to it, and I really loved my work there too.
Your just general thoughts on your war experience?
What's that?
Your overall thoughts on your what you went through in the war?
Do I have any?
Overall thoughts?
I wouldn't sell it for $1 million, and I wouldn't go back for $1 million. But I have nothing against the army or anything, and I'm lucky to be alive. That's all I care. And I'm lucky to be here.
Anything else?
No, not really, except that right now When I get old, I really know that I have been through something. But so far, everything, the Lord has taken care of it.
Some aches and pains.
A lot of aches and pains, but most of my legs have given out on me besides. But my kidney, as far as I know, is functioning good.
Describe a little bit about the when you were injured, you got the four bullets, I think, and then the you were facing a Japanese machine gun. Tell me a little bit more about how that all unfolded.
Well, I was we had just taken the hill, and so I, naturally being a platoon sergeant, I didn't have no lieutenant. I was in charge, and so he got killed the third day we went in. So I run my platoon just like I was the lieutenant all through the campaign. And then when we took that hill, naturally I was putting out my men to make sure that when they counterattacked that I got my men set out the best to defend that hill. And that's when the machine gun from another hill must have got me, because I never knew where he came, where the bullets came from, but that's when he got me. And after I got hit, why, I didn't never knocked me down or anything. All those four bullets hitting me never knocked me down, and I run to my hole, which was a Jap hole I used. And the aid man came in, came up, and bandaged me up the best he knew how. And they came up with a stretcher and hauled me out of there. And carried me about, I suppose, a half a mile down the jungles and off of the hill down to where there was an aid station. And that's where they gave me 2 pints of plasma. And by that time, one of the ambulance or whatever you call them came in, picked me up, and hauled me back to a temporary tent which they had set up for the wounded, in the 24-hour deal, stay there, and then they hold you out to the general hospital in Manila. And there they took out my kidney and sewed me back up, and that's where I stayed for 18 days because they couldn't move me, count of my wounds, the being shot in the liver and that, because I'd bleed. And then finally they got me out and hauled me back to Manila to where they had a real general hospital.
But when there was a whole round of bullets from this gun, from this machine gun that sprayed the dirt in front of you.
Well, yeah, they did be, and they didn't get me the first time. They got me when I crawled around the outside and got up and tried to spot the gun so I could call in the airplanes to knock it out. And evidently it took him that long to change his gun to where I was, or he just was scared that I could see where he was, and he waited till I turned, then he got me. I'll show you where I was hit.
Are you still, yeah, you can still see it, can't you?
Oh, sure, that's where it come out. Got 2 ribs there. Went in by my back.